It's pretty steep.
That's all right.
I still get a bit nervous every time.
Nervous is good. Excitement's a good thing.
Me?
What's wrong?
Do you hear this?
And call for help.
May, what?
Listen, you have to be back within 20 minutes. Just stay calm. The calmer you are, the less air you use.
Hello, and welcome to the Movie Robcast. I'm your host, Rob Wallace, and as always, it's a delight to be joined by my co-host, Mr. Rob Daniel.
And as always, it's an absolute pleasure to be here.
And what are we talking about in today's episode?
I'm glad you asked. We are talking about two things. We will quickly be talking about the Pigeon Shrine Fright Fest Film Festival, running from this Thursday, so Thursday the 24th of August, through to the 28th of August, the bank holiday Monday. And then we will be talking in detail about one of the films that's playing at Fright Fest, but is also getting released on Friday to general audiences, and that is called The Dive. So we will quickly go into Fright Fest, and then we will talk about The Dive. Yeah, so Pigeon Shrine is this is the first time they've been headline sponsor. And they are a media production company. Because in the past, of course, Fright Fest has been sponsored by the likes of Arrow Video and The Horror Channel. So Pigeon Shrine appeared to be a new player on the block.
Are we 100% sure that they're not some sort of cult dedicated to bringing about the appearance in this realm of their chthonic pigeon god? From, like, the dark place between realms.
So you are saying that by them sponsoring Fright Fest, they are staging a cosmic coup.
Yeah, they're going to use the kind of generation of fear and excitement. And after a certain point, this giant, unblinking, uncomprehending yellow pigeon eye is just going to appear on the Discovery screen.
Actually, I think it'll appear on the main screen, that big City World Leicester Square IMAX screen.
There was the flapping of wings as reality was torn asunder.
It was a bank holiday to remember.
Their ancient chthonic pigeon god called Peristeri, which is the Greek for pigeon, or dove.
Okay, well, interesting. Well, there we go. It will be a Peristeri Fright Fest. There is no evidence to suggest that Pigeon Shrine is a pigeon-based cult. As far as we know, they are just a media production company. If you want to find out more about them, then go to pigeonshrine.com. Then again, Rob, you were saying that this could be a film that we could pitch about a cult that is trying to bring about the end of the world and a new dawning of insanity through a pigeon-based god.
Yeah, it'd be like Mandy meets the birds.
Well, I'd watch that. So yeah, so check them out at pigeonshrine.com and also go to frightfest.co.uk to see what is playing at this year's Fright Fest and to buy tickets. So yeah, just to quickly run through the kind of things that I think we're looking forward to. So, Rob, you're going to be able to check out some of the films over the weekend, but not all of them. I think I'm going to be able to check out a few more than you. But yeah, but we'll just give you some of the highlights. So the festival opens with Suitable Flesh, which actually, it all ties in, is a Joe Lynch film. So Joe Lynch directed Wrong Turn 2. He also directed Mayhem, which was a great film with Steven Yeun. This one stars Heather Graham and Scream Queen Barbara Crampton. And it is a love letter to H.P. Lovecraft. And at the end of the trailer, there is a credit that says filmed in Cthulhu scope.
Wow, okay.
So I think all this stuff about a god being born, and this is the opening film of the festival, so we'll see. We'll see what happens over the course of the festival.
But what's the final film of the festival about?
So you mean The Sacrifice Game, directed by Jen Wexler, who back in 2018 made a very, very good debut with a film called The Ranger. And The Sacrifice Game is about three girls, I think, at an exclusive boarding school who, over Christmas, have to fend off a group of Satan worshippers who, I think, are trying to sacrifice them for their own nefarious ends. So that's another cult one.
I think by having two cult films, they're going to complete the circuit and thereby generate the necessary psychic energy to create the portal to bring about a winged god.
That's right, yes, yes. You create the portal through which comes the winged god. What was that again? Prysterius or something?
Peristeri. Sorry, I want to get this right so that, you know.
So that we will be welcomed and we won't be smoked. But other films that are playing over the weekend that we think look really quite interesting. So there's the J Horror Virus. So this one's directed by Sarah Appleton, who made a really, really good documentary back in 2021 called The Found Footage Phenomenon, which was a doc all about the found footage horror film. This one, as you could probably guess from the title, is about the Japanese horror wave of the late 90s, early noughties. This one is co-directed with Jasper Sharp, who is a Japanese film expert. So expecting really, really good things from this one, because The Found Footage Phenomenon was a really, really good documentary. And I think there's quite a lot of meat to feast on with J-horror. Another film that's playing on one of the smaller screens is Hostile Dimensions, which is by Graham Hughes. So he did Death of a Vlogger back in 2019. That was a really, really good movie. And this one, well, actually, this one again is about someone who finds a door. Through it is a portal to other worlds in which terrible things seem to be coming through. So there's a bit of a theme possibly to some of this, right? Are they hiding in plain sight?
Yeah, I think if this ends up being our last podcast, because we both die sudden, inexplicable deaths, by which it looks like we were pecked to death by something, you know the cause.
Yeah, that's right. That's all we're saying. So, the other things that are playing, there's a movie that looks a huge amount of fun called Here for Blood, that stars Sean Roberts, who I think years ago was in X-Men, and he was Rogue's boyfriend, who got frozen when he kissed her. I think that's that guy. Anyway, he's obviously much older now. He plays a wrestler in this because he's really, really bulked up now. He plays a wrestler. I'm not making this up. He has to babysit one night for this young girl because his girlfriend, who normally does the babysitting, is cramming for a medical exam she's got the next day. The house gets invaded by satanic cultists who seem to want to get them for a sacrifice.
We're going to get murdered.
Murdered or sacrificed or just given an arch eyebrow by the good folks at Pigeon Shrine and at Fright Fest. But it's all said in good fun. But it all ties in with the festival. It has to be said that Fright Fest is a blast. It's a really, really good weekend. And it's good watching a film with a Fright Fest audience. They are respectful of the movie. You rarely get anyone using their phones. And when someone does, they're told in no uncertain terms by the rest of the audience to put it away. You don't, in my experience, don't really get people chattering through the films, but they do respond to the films really well. So when you're watching something that is maybe something of a gory crowd pleaser, then you get the best reactions. On the other hand, if it's something that's quite serious, introspective, or you know, requires attention, then you get an audience that understands that as well. But Here for Blood, that will bring down the house, I think. That is a good one. But yeah, so other films that look pretty good. Farang. Actually, yeah, if you think about checking out a film, then see if you can get into Farang, which is by Xavier Gens, who was the director of Frontier, which was a great splatter French horror film from about 2007, I think. But he's more recently done episodes of Gangs of London. This one is set in the East, and it's a revenge film. It's a revenge action martial arts film. And it looks really quite good. And I think that's going to go down incredibly well with the Fright Fest audience. I think they're going to have a blast at that. So, yeah, that's playing on the Saturday night on the main screen at 8:45. So see if there are any tickets left for that. But Rob, are any films that you were looking forward to?
I'd say I like the look of New Life. It looks like a bit more of a thriller than either of the two. It's about a woman who's on the run and the kind of organisation going after her. And it's just got like a really nice cast of, you know, like actors who you'll probably mostly recognise from TV, I guess.
Okay.
Sonia Walga, who probably people would best still know as Penny from Lost.
Ah.
It's got a really nice, recognisable cast.
Oh, cool. Excellent. Yeah, I think I know which one you mean. I read that was as an apocalypse drama or something like that. So I think I've seen a trailer for it. It seemed to be one of those that it would be good to watch without knowing that much about it, which actually, as we said, there's a lot of films at Fright Fest. You go in and it's quite good not to know that much about it. But yeah, but there are some films that are playing there that you will know about, like The Exorcist. The Exorcist is playing on August Bank Holiday Monday. And I think it's got an intro from Mark Kermode.
The Exorcist?
The Exorcist, yes, because it's the 50th anniversary.
And I'm not sure I know this one.
Oh, right, I see. yes, very good. So yeah, it's the 50th anniversary of The Exorcist. And very sadly, as I'm sure that every horror fan will know, William Friedkin passed away in the past couple of weeks. It is sad that on the 50th anniversary of his most famous film, he's no longer with us. But I think this will be a good tribute to him. I think that Mark Kermode is probably the best person to talk about the film at a presentation of it on that big IMAX screen at the Cineworld, Leicester Square. So that's going to be great. And I think that will be a very, very nice tribute to Friedkin. I think it's about 70 films playing. There's a lot of really, really good looking stuff, including the film that we're going to talk about today, The Dive. And to your point, you said that New Life looks like more of a thriller. That's the thing, is that you do get films. It's not just horror films at Fright Fest. You do get thrillers, you get dramas. They tend to be quite dark dramas, but there was one called Swallow a few years ago, which I think played at the Halloween Fright Fest. They tend to do a one-day event at Halloween. And that was a great drama. It's about this woman who was addicted to swallowing things that shouldn't be swallowed. And I have to admit, it did make me gag a few times because I just have such a thing about people swallowing objects that aren't food or water. It's like, please don't put that in your mouth and swallow it. Anyway, that was a great film. So would you like to give us the plot synopsis for The Dive?
Sure. The IMDb synopsis is, two sisters go diving at a beautiful remote location. One of the sisters is struck by a rock, leaving her trapped 28 meters below. With dangerously low levels of oxygen and cold temperatures, it is up to her sister to fight for her life. Which, yeah.
Explains the film, yes, that's actually a pretty good one. I mean, this is, as we said, a very, very straightforward film. It's actually a remake of a Swedish movie made in 2020 called Breaking Surface. So this is the English language remake of that.
I think it's a German film, isn't it? The director, I think, is certainly German, Maximilian Erlenwein.
And it's written by him and also by Joachim Hedin, I think would be how you say that. Apologies if not. Now, Joachim Hedin actually wrote the original as well. He wrote Breaking Surface.
Hmm.
So it seems to be a European production, but I think pretty aimed at a global market because the two leads speak with American accents, even though Sophie Lowe, who plays the sister Drew, who has to try and get help and try to get her sister May out of the situation. Sophie Lowe is Australian.
And Louisa Krauss is American.
And Louisa Krauss, yeah, who plays May, is American, yeah. And this is, I suppose, another one of the recent trend of survival thrillers where it's almost like a short story premise. It's just one event that happens and then the entire film is spent watching how the characters get out of this. But I suppose you can go back to something like Duel. I mean, that's like one of those things. That was a short story. That's a very early example of this sort of film where it's just one event, it's told in a very streamlined way, and you just look at how the characters are reacting as they try to get out of this terrible situation.
Yeah, there is like a simplicity and a purity to it. I do think there's a pointed reason why the synopsis on IMDb says trapped 28 meters below and is very exact on the exact distance that she is beneath the surface.
And why is that?
You could almost say that she's 28 meters down.
Yeah, there's one called 47 meters down.
And 47 meters down uncaged. Those two are shark movies, and this one partly was always geared for a shark to turn up because that's just the formula. I can say, is it a spoiler to say that no sharks turn up?
I don't think so. I think it's... Actually, I would probably suggest that you don't watch the trailer for this, because I turned the trailer off. I need to go back and actually watch the trailer. I haven't watched it since I watched the movie. But it seems to be giving quite a lot away, so I stopped the trailer about halfway through. But I need to go back to see, did it spoil anything? But it just felt as if I was seeing too much, and I didn't want to watch as much as I was seeing in that trailer. I mean, it's quite, in a way, fitting that our last podcast was about Meg 2, and water-based survival movies. Actually, I am watching the trailer now. It's playing on the IMDb page. It does seem to be giving away some bits here and there. But anyway, water-based survival movies recently have been dominated by sharks. I think because CGI sharks now can look quite good, which means that we've had a lot of shark movies. So in a way, it was really refreshing to have a movie that the peril is the environment itself. It's the water that they're in. That's the peril, rather than something that lives in the water. So, yeah, so what do we think of The Dive?
I really liked the simplicity of it.
Mm.
It sets up the characters neatly but not schematically, puts them into this situation, and then lets them react. I mean, there are some slightly less naturalistic elements, but it just in terms of exploring their psychology and their headspace, it never kind of strays into outlandish territory, I thought.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I had a really, really good time with this one. Yeah, to your point, it was the simplicity of it that I thought worked really well. And the fact that it seemed to be filmed on location or at least in water sets a lot of the time, and it seemed to be the actors doing it, really added to it. I'd be surprised if there was some CGI in this. If they were acting in a CGI environment, it's like, well, yeah, well done, guys, you fooled me. But the way that the water was moving, the way that the bubbles were being blown out, the breathing apparatus, stuff like that, all seemed to suggest that this was a filmed in real water movie, which I think added quite a lot to just the peril, because you got a real sense of it being scary to be in, dark, cold, but crucially, May, the sister who is trapped under the rocks, is always running out of air. And one of the things I liked about it was that it didn't make anything easy for the characters. Everything that they tried to do had real obstacles in the way. And for that reason, I was actually quite tense a lot of the time when I was watching it.
It's really well set up, and it's a film that I liked. I enjoyed the progressive logic of it.
Yeah.
Not in an obvious way, but there are certain things that it's like, oh, okay, that's clever in terms of what it's done with this.
Yeah, indeed. Is there anything...
And,
sorry, go on.
I think just in terms of, like, escalation suggests a level that it goes outside the scope of, you know, what you might think is plausible. The escalation, while still being, as far as the slightly, you know, unusual scenario goes, semi-plausible.
I think you're right. To use an ironic phrase, I think this was a film that was very, very grounded. Nothing in it got
silly.
It held water. Very good. Nothing in it was silly. I also thought they behaved in a credible way. The Louisa Krauss, who plays May, she's the one that's trapped. I thought it was good the way that she wasn't ever really trying to calm her sister down in a, it's fine if I die. It was always, you need to do this, you need to do this. Okay, breathe, but you need to pay attention to what I'm doing because you need to get me out of this. And that kind of stuff I thought was quite refreshing to see in a film. What did you think of the actors?
Again, giving, as you said, grounded performances in the context of a very extreme situation.
Yeah, and I think there's Sophie Lowe, who just by nature of the Drew character has more to do because she's not trapped. She was great. I thought her performance and the way she oscillated between absolute frustration and panic and then just kind of seeing something else or seeing a way through a problem and managed to keep that believable, I thought was really impressive. And there's one moment when she's trying to get something out of a car and is just really, really getting frustrated. And I thought, I can't remember the last time that I saw someone just believably get frustrated, as if there's no one looking at them. So they're kind of muttering to themselves, but also kind of swearing and just getting angry with the fact that they can't achieve what they have to get done because this is such a precious situation that they're in. There were some really, really nice moments of that, I thought.
Yeah, so it's... You can't go into too much detail because the details are kind of what make it. Just in terms of it's the kind of minute by minute how it unravels. And again, yeah, it's not like, and then all of a sudden a shark bursts out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Even though that can be fun in its own right. I enjoyed how like committed and not low key, but how kind of understated, naturalistic the film managed to be, again, in the context of a very elevated situation.
Yeah, indeed, definitely. And there was physicality of it as well. You got the impression, particularly with the Drew character, you just got the impression that she was just getting exhausted because the thing kind of plays out in real time. And yeah, you just got the impression that this was just the toll it was taking on her. Also the fact that she just kept having to go up and down in these depths in this water. And it was like, this seems quite tough. Actually, I'm looking at Breaking Surface now, and Joachim Hedin directed the original as well as writing it, so it'll be interesting to watch that. And it is available to rent on Prime Video, so we might have to check that out and see how it compares to the remake.
I'll add it to the viewing list for this year.
Yes, indeed, can you remember where this one's set? Where the dive is set, sorry.
I don't think it actually names it.
I don't think it does it? But it's a beach. It's a very remote area. It's a remote beach. The original, Breaking Surface, is filmed in Norway, and it's a winter diving trip, so they're amongst the mountains. It's all very snowy. So that'll be interesting. That's an interesting locale and...
It's set among the fjords.
I believe, yes. We're going to have to watch it now, so you can keep saying that word with the obvious relish that you have when you say fjords.
Yeah, little quickly bits around the edges.
You're sorry?
Sorry, the crinkly bit around the edges, as I think Douglas Adam describes them in Hitchhiker's Guide, in one of that series.
Right, yeah, I see. Okay. Brilliant. Ah, it's going to be an interesting one to compare the two of these. The trailer is recognisably the same premise, but there are different things happening. Okay. Yeah, so anything else to say about The Dive, other than recommend that people go and see it? I think it will play well to a big audience.
Yeah, I would solidly recommend it.
Cool, brilliant. Okay then, well, let's wrap up The Dive there. And yeah, so in the next episode, we will be talking about a roundup of Fright Fest and what were our favourite films. So we will be doing that in the next week or two.
Yeah.
Okay then, well, shall we do plugs before we go?
Yes. Mr. Daniel, if our listeners are looking for you online, where can they find you?
Well, thank you for asking. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I just can't remember how to call it X, so I'm just going to say Twitter, even though I know it's called X, then you can do that at @Rob_A_Daniel. You can find my writing, including my 10 must-see movies at Fright Fest this year. I will also put a link to that in the show notes, but that can be found at electric-shadows.com. You can find me on Letterboxd at letterboxd.com/RobDan and Instagram at RobDan75. Now, Fright Fest has the best of fantasy cinema, in my humble but correct opinion. If you want to listen to a podcast about quite simply one of the best fantasy films ever made, and of course I'm talking Highlander, that 1986 classic, then Rob and I have done a scene-by-scene dissection of the entire movie with amazing guests. That's called Another Time MacLeod, and it's available wherever you're listening to this podcast. And if you want to follow that on Twitter, it is at MacLeod Time. And if you want to send us a Highlander-themed email, then you can do that at whowantstopodforever@gmail.com.
Great. And yeah, if you're looking for me online, you can find me on Twitter at Robert M. Wallace. You can also find my writing, such as it is, out of all the film sites, www.ofallthefilmsites.com. If you've enjoyed this podcast, and we very much hope you have, you can follow us on Twitter at MovieRobcast. You can also drop us an email at MovieRobcast@gmail.com and follow our new Instagram account at TheMovieRobcast. And if you've enjoyed this and our discussions of pigeon cults, please do rate and review. It's great to get the feedback, and it really does help us with the algorithm. Well, Mr. Daniel, thanks as always.
And thank you.
And thank you very much for listening, and we'll be back with you very soon.
So here's what we know for sure. We're dealing with something supernatural. I don't want to say that it's vampires. I don't want to say that it's zombies. I don't want to say that it's demons. But they're definitely not human. Ah! We gotta arm ourselves. So, everybody grab a knife. You too, kiddo.
No, no, Tom. She can't have a knife.
If one of those things comes at her, I want her to be prepared. Maybe just don't tell your parents.